Ezekiel chapter 33. Stand to your feet tonight. One more time, if you would. We'll reverence in that the reading of God's Word. Look in verse 31. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. You can be seated tonight, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, in that for another time that you've given us. And we pray now, it's time for preaching, and we certainly need you, and we need your direction tonight and how to preach this message. Lord, you know our heart. This would not have been the message that I'd have chose for this hour, but Lord, I really believe this is the message that you chose tonight. And Lord, I pray that we could preach it without fear and favor, but Lord, don't let us preach with a mean spirit tonight, by no means, but with a loving heart. And Lord, for these folk before me, they need something tonight from heaven. They need to hear from you. And Lord, there may be folk here tonight that needs correction, just as sure as some folk just needs uplifting and edification. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that you'd come by and help us. I pray that you'd speak to the one that might be lost, that they'd get saved. And Lord, just bring them to a place of repentance. If somebody dealing with sin in their heart, I pray they'd get right tonight. And Lord, I pray, we just look for your coming. And just like John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for salvation tonight. Help us preach and anoint us afresh, and that from heaven, Lord. And touch us and help us. Lord, save somebody and save that sinner's nearest tail for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As I said in my prayer, this would not have been the message that I would have chose tonight. But I believe that God knows what's needed in that for the hour. Let me ask you tonight, has anybody in here ever played a part in a play? Now, that's a rhetorical question. I'd say maybe a lot of us have played a part in a play. How many of us have ever played a sport of any kind? Most of us have played a sport, ain't we? Miss Tricia's got her hand up back there. I like to play cornhole. It's Gunner over there waving his hand. He had Miss Tricia. I had Miss Tricia confused there with him. But listen, I think a lot of us has played something at one time or another. And maybe we played sports, or maybe we've played a game. And most of the time, a game is no more than just playing, trying to beat somebody, ain't it? I mean, if you've ever played my father-in-law in checkers, you're going to have to play real hard to beat him in checkers. My wife will tell you, he don't let you win, does he, honey? Even when you were little, he wouldn't let you win. You had to play to win, that's for sure. But tonight, I'm afraid that a lot of times we just play some things in our life. Tonight, I want to look at what he said right here about the children of Israel in the book of Ezekiel. And we're talking about in about the same time that Jeremiah was preaching, Ezekiel was preaching, and that to Israel. And he told them right here, he said, they come unto thee as people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For their mouth show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. He said, you're like a very lovely song that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, and they hear thy words, but they do them not. And so they were coming to church, if you'd let me say that, and they were just playing the part more than they were real. And there's one thing that I want to be more than anything, I mean, other than being saved, is I want to be real. Now, that word real means to be actual or to be true or genuine, not artificial or counterfeit. And that's the one thing I want to be, is real. When you see me standing behind this pulpit, I want to be real. When I'm out there talking to you, I want to be real. I don't want to be something that I am not tonight and put on a show and be different than who I am. And here it is. I believe that the children of Israel, they were simply playing a part and that thinking they were going to appease God and appease their conscience in serving God. I want to look tonight having a thought in playing church. Now listen tonight, the word play means to sport or to toy. There's no levity or there's no sincerity in it. When you're playing something, I do play to win. Now listen, but I mean there's no repercussions if I lose at checkers. Did you know that? I mean, there's no sincerity. I mean, me and my wife sat down to play a board game at home. There's no repercussions if I lose. Why? We're just playing a game, ain't we? But listen tonight, in our Christianity, in our Christian life and in church, listen tonight, it should be more than just playing a part or to do something and that to appease our conscience. It should be real to us in serving God tonight. I want you to understand tonight that I use that word church and that collectively tonight with us and others that have church hanging outside their building. But tonight, I'm afraid there's a lot of folk just playing the part. Listen, church has never really been big to them. Serving Christ has never really been big to them. At least I can remember a time in my life when I thought serving the Lord that all you had to do was go to church, put your money in the plate, go to Sunday school, listen to the preacher, and that finished my job living for Christ for the week. But I remember when I got around folk that really loved God and really wanted to serve God, I began to see some things in them that was different than I'd seen in a lot of so-called Christians. Listen, these folk that I had seen, not only did they live it on Sunday when they were in the church house, but they lived it on Monday through Saturday when they were away from the church house and the preacher couldn't see them. I like folk that are real tonight and there's something different about them. Too many times I think folk have been counterfeited into what they believe that Christianity ought to be. There's a lot of folk being slipped a counterfeit of salvation, and my job is not to talk you in or out of salvation tonight, but you need to know if you're saved. And if you've got to be made to come, or it is a chore to come to church, it is a chore to worship, it is a chore to live for God, I would say that there is something wrong in your life tonight. Listen, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I believe it's in the book of John chapter 6 that he tells us that the will of the Father is to believe on the Son and trust him. Matthew chapter 7 verse 22 said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want you to notice as Jesus was talking about right here, as he was talking, they were telling the Lord what they had done for him. Did you catch that, Lord? We prophesied in thy name and cast out devils and done many wonderful works. Listen, though, it's what they have done. Listen, it's not what you've done and what I've done that's going to get us into heaven. It's what he done that's going to get us in there. It's what he done that made the difference in my life. Hey, he's the one that changed me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so I encourage you, if you're unsaved tonight, to get saved. Do what 2 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians 13, where he said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Listen, Mark chapter 4 said, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. There's some folk hear the word, but it never gets down on the inside. Isaiah 4 said, in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we'll eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, and let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Some folk want to come to church simply and have to feel better about themselves. They want to come to church and that simply and that to feel like God would be happy with them. But I want to preach tonight on playing church. Can I say that first of all, a church made with carnally minded people are simply playing church. Carnally minded. You know what that means? Worldly minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul told them over there, he said, you're carnal. I mean, take your Bible and go over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look what he tells them. And bless folks' hearts that start a church and name it Corinth. And I know some that are. I know some, and I don't know how they come to that position to name their church Corinth. They obviously never read 1 and 2 Corinthians, because there ain't no way I'd name my church Corinth. I know how carnal they were. I mean, they struggling in that with carnality. But I'm going to be honest with you. And if you would be real tonight with yourself and with God and be honest, you'd find that there's a little carnality in you tonight. There may be a whole lot of it if you ain't careful. But notice what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For are you not yet carnal? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? He said, look, you're concerned about you. You're concerned about what you want. They were very cliquish at the church of Corinth. I mean, listen, if you go on and you read this, I mean, they talked about one was of Paul, one was of Apollos, one was of Cephas, I believe it was. And listen, who baptized who? And they were part of this clique and that clique and that clique. Listen, that is carnality tonight. And when churches get cliquish, they're carnal. What did he say right here? He said one thing. He said, you've not grew any. He said, I cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. He said, you're babes in Christ. Carnal. Babes in Christ are carnal. Why? It's all about them, ain't it? Ain't babies all about them? Moms and dads, you all that have raised babies tonight, I mean, raising children together, I mean, you've raised them, it's all about them, ain't it? I mean, when they cry, it's about them. Either they want something to eat, either they want to be held, they want their diaper changed, but it's all about them, ain't it? And so Paul, he tells us right here that the church at Corinth, they were carnal, and it was about them. Can I tell you tonight that this church, and I use that tonight in saying the Lord's church is not about me. I'm in the spotlight 9 times out of 10, and yes, folks see me and folk know me. And folk know that I'm the pastor of this church, but then no way is this church about me tonight. It needs to be about him. It's not about whether you're a friend. I hope we're friends tonight. I do, but listen, and I hope that we're all friends. I hope that this side ain't against this one, and that one against that one. I got down in Tuscaloosa preaching one time years ago, and I mean, before I got started preaching, and I probably should have preached on that, looking back on it, but boy, I got to talking about bitterness and this side of the church being against that side of the church, and then one family took us out for lunch, and boy, if you just sat long enough, you can find things out. And come to find out, there was some in this side of the church against some in this side of the church. God knows what he's doing. But tonight they were carnal. It was about them. It's all about them. Can I ask you tonight, when you come to church, is it about you tonight? You ever seen folk just get so mad that they didn't get their way at church? I have. I mean, I've known it and seen it. And boy, they'll just, I mean, they'll let it know. I have a friend of mine, he pastors a church, and he had one gentleman in his church. Everything that it seemed like they wanted to do, he'd say, preacher, if you do that, I'm leaving. And so they would appease him for a little while, and finally, I think after about the third time of that, he called him on the job one day and was just chewing the preacher out. And he said, he caught me at the wrong time, for I had just took all I could take. And he said, I told him, that's it, I'm done. He said, I've heard enough, I'm done. I don't care if you come back or not. And I reckon he hung up on him. Now, he said, that shocked that fella. I don't know, I reckon the fella never did come back. But I'm going to tell you, they some people, when they're carnal, if it ain't their way, it's going to be the highway, and they'll be traveling it, amen. Do you know it ought not to be that way? That when we come to church, we ought to be able to get along one with another. Amen. Ain't that right? I know some folks got a hard personality to deal with. And on occasion, I know that folk need to go. I understand that, but that's on very, 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 very short occasion that needs to happen. You hear me? I ain't going to be like that fella that says you look better going than you do a coming. He said, I got to saying that at my church. And he said, I got to tell them they look better going than they did a coming. And they got to going. And when I turned around, there wasn't nobody coming back. Amen. I ain't that crazy. But listen, we should be able to get along and not be carnal minded. Churches that are carnal minded are playing. You know, God can't work through us when we're like that. God can't use us. Carnal minded means worldly. How many of you tonight, your mind is out in the world? The Bible said in Matthew chapter 6, no man can serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other. He'll either hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's either love God and get rid of the world or love the world and get rid of God, but you cannot serve both of them. You can't do it. It's impossible. You ever tried to work for two bosses? Two people that thought, let me say this, some of you have worked for people that was your boss and then you had one that thought they were your boss. That's a little tough, ain't it? But then sometimes, for whatever reason, you might have two bosses. And one says do this and the other says do this. And you know what? You can't do both of them at the same time. And it's no different in being carnal and trying to live in the world and trying to serve God at the same time. You've got one pulling one way and one pulling the other. And you can't do them both. The world will dictate to you what you need to do. And if you come in here and try to serve God, and you go out there and try to serve God, and yet try to look like the world, and sound like the world, and act like the world, and smell like the world, listen, it just won't work. God's people are different tonight. We should be different from the world. But yet a carnal-minded church, is simply playing church. I want to be real tonight, don't you? I like real people. Sometimes they're hard to deal with, but I like real people. You don't have to wonder what they're thinking or where they're at when folk are just real. Listen, the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, he said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Who do you mind tonight? Your flesh, or do you mind the Spirit? Carnal. It shouldn't be about us, but it ought to be about Him tonight. Shouldn't be about us and what we want to do, but what He wants us to do for Him and give up our will tonight. Number two, a church that has people that won't repent is playing church. He said right here in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 32, what did he say? He said, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, and for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Seems like we've been stuck on this for the past few weeks about telling folk to simply just get right with God. Just repent. Now, if you're lost tonight, you need to repent. Just need to come and get right. It is an act of faith. You come and trust God. You ever sat under preaching, or them boys, they want to try to separate all that out. They try to separate out repentance and forgiveness and getting saved. And I mean all that. You know what? That all happens at one time. I mean, it is a work of faith, and repentance happens in that work of faith. Because if it did not, then it would be a work salvation, wouldn't it? Right? I mean, if you come and got saved, said, Lord, I want you to save me, and I'm going to repent, I'm going to do better and change my ways, and God says, okay, you change your ways and I'll save you. Was that what the Bible says? Well, that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible said that godly sorrow worketh to repentance, don't it? When you come and realize that you're lost, you come and get saved. And listen, your heart turns from where you are, and it turns in that to Him and that for salvation. The sinner must repent. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. He said you need godly sorrow. The Bible said the Lord's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. ready to give up, ready to change. Lord, I want you to help me, you know. But their problem here is they were listening, they were hearing, I guess you might say, but they did not want to get right. Now, I hope that ain't none of you tonight, and I hope it ain't me. Listen, I dealt hard with this message as I studied it. Because I try to look on the inside and be honest with God and honest with myself. It ain't, listen, I wouldn't be real if I got up here and preached that stuff and I've got sin in my life. I mean, I'm imperfect and I got problems and listen, and my wife could tell you a million problems that I have now, but there's one thing that I try to do, and that is please God. I do want to be found in His will and have Him happy with me. How about you tonight? Is there sin that ain't been taken care of? Are you hard-hearted? You know, God's people can get hard-hearted. Do you know that? Bible said, was it in the book of Peter? I believe it was at one place. I believe that he said that even some could get in such a place of sin that they could even forget that they. He said right here. He said, "Let me go back up here." He said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. When there is no growth in there, you know, they some people, and I'm going to go back to this part one here, some people hang around here over in the world, and that makes them wonder about their salvation. Did I really get it? You know, folk that hang around the world, that's going to bother them. They're always wondering about that. You know, if they just get in that book and just begin to study, they'd find out that if they did ask Him and that to save them, He done it. I'm not afraid to say that tonight. If you come to Him lost and you ask Him to save you, He done it. Hey, some people are afraid to make that statement tonight. Say, you're meddling. I ain't meddling in God's business. That's what the book says. But you got to repent. There's some folk that get so far away from God, and yet they come to church, and that's why they're so miserable. So a church that won't repent, people that won't repent, playing church. Then a church that won't preach is playing church. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So preaching is two-thirds negative, ain't it? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, are we not living in that day? It's hard to chase the truth down in a lot of churches, ain't it? So-called churches. So-called Baptist churches. Even to try to go find the truth. I mean, listen, the church ought to preach the gospel. I'm a firm believer that you ought to preach the gospel. I mean, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you, except among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I believe the gospel will save the whole world if they'll believe in it tonight. Save me. I believe it'll save you tonight if you're lost. But you show me a church that won't preach the gospel, and I'll show you a church that ain't going nowhere. I mean, some pastors, some preachers, some churches get so tied up and that with I'm just going to call it as I see it, it's pharisaical living, with legalistic living, that they forget the gospel a lot of times. They get more concerned about living right than they do with telling folk about Christ. Do you know that you need to do both? You need to live right, be concerned with living right, but you want to tell folk about Christ? I know some folk, if somebody, let me put it to you like this. If somebody come up here and they wasn't dressed right and they come into church and you know they're lost, some folk would just will just flip out that they come into church. If they're covered up, I'm going to leave them alone, friend. I mean, if they're indecent, we'll deal with it. But if they're covered up and they come in, they're needing something, friend. But I know some that, if a man comes in here with long hair, if a woman come in here and not dressed right, they just flip their lid and want to run them off. Hey, are we not supposed to be preaching to them, tell them that Christ will save them, amen? Never forget. I still love that story. I drag that old tape out every now and again and listen to the preacher preach on Behold, I Thought. Remember that message? Behold, I Thought. I'm talking over there about when 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman. And he goes over and he said, Behold, I thought that that the preacher, he said, I thought the prophet would come out and lay his hand upon the sore spot, his leprosy in him. But you know what he done? He sent a young preacher man out there, a young boy out there, and said, just go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And I was listening to the preacher preach on that, and he got talking about that time when that hippie come in there and got saved. His church, he don't come from the mental institute. Had long hair and had on a crazy shirt, and he said his breeches was like barber poles rolling backwards when he walked. How would we react to somebody like that walked in? Had on a tie-dye t-shirt and barber pole breeches and hair down to here. How would we react? I know that they come from a mental institute. You know what he said? He said that old boy got saved that morning. And said, he said, Lord help him, he went home and changed them breeches. Boy, he's glad of that. And got a haircut. And he said, you know what? Nobody told him he had to get a haircut. You ever seen somebody that was really out in the world get saved? I mean, out in the world, boy, they come to know Christ Jesus the Lord. Makes a difference in them, don't it? You get saved early in life, you don't see a great big difference sometimes. Why? Because Christ just sets you on the right path and gets you going, you see. But boy, when you look at that drunk, it's been a drunk for 40 years. I'm sure glad he changes people. And it's all by the gospel that gets it done. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you got to preach the gospel. Church that don't preach the gospel is playing church tonight. Church that does not preach the unadulterated gospel. You know, they some preaching some other Jesus, some other way. Church of Christ is preaching some other way. They tell you you've got to get dunked in that water baptistry back there, in that baptistry to get saved. They're lying to you, friend. You may have kinfolk. I'm not knocking your kin, but I'm telling you right now that you can take and that the Lord's Supper every week. You can take it every day, every hour of the day. It can't save you. Listen, it takes coming to Christ and becoming a new creature born into the family of God that'll save you tonight. But then can I say that that is all that some churches want to preach? Paul said in the book of Acts chapter 20, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I think we're just playing church. If I come in here every Sunday in and Sunday out and just told you that Jesus saves, and you get that. If I just preached on salvation all the time, how much growth would you have? Now I think I ought to come across that somewhere where I'm preaching. I'll be honest with you, I do. Listen, I ain't going to give up that thought at all. But Paul said, for I'm not shunning to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, I do like milk and cornbread every now and again. I ain't had it in a long time. Daddy used to make him corn pones, you know. And I remember being a kid, we'd take a glass of milk and break them up and put them in a glass of milk and sit there and eat them. Man, I loved that as a kid. And I still love it when I can get it. Can't get it all the time at my house. I ain't even sure if we've ever made cornbread at my house. Have we ever made cornbread? I didn't think so. I ain't even sure if we've ever had cornmeal in the house. I ain't sure. She don't like it, and it's not good for me. So that's just the way it is, friend. I'll be honest with you. And as long as you don't make it, you don't eat it. That's for sure. But you know what? If I just ate milk and cornbread three times a day. Now listen, I know that is a crude example of what I'm trying to make. And let me tell you, salvation and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is far more than milk and cornbread. But I will tell you, that is the milk of the word tonight. It is. I mean, listen, any sinner can grasp that. Anybody can grasp that and get that Christ died for them and he can save them if they'll just come. That is the milk of the word. That is the easy part of it tonight. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of declaring to you all the counsel of God, what it means to live right, what it means in that to deny this world. You know, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross. No man, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man having laid his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what's a plow you've got to get a hold of and take off and go to work? So, a church that does not dig into the Word of God and preach it all tonight is simply playing. I don't want to be playing. I want to be real tonight. A lot of people just want what makes them feel good. What did he say in the book of Isaiah? Which say to the seer, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You need the whole Word of God tonight, and I do too. Hebrews 4 and 12 said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's the word of God that saves. What did he say? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. It's the word of God that saves. It's the word of God that will correct you. It's the word of God that will strengthen you. It's the word of God that will give instruction in your life. He said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's the book. You need the book. I need the book. You need to be preached to. I need to be preached to. I went to revival a couple weeks ago. And man, I'm telling you, I needed the preaching. Need to be preached to. You need to read your Bible. I need to read my Bible. It'll give us direction when we need it. Paul asked the church, I believe it was Galatia, have I become the enemy because I tell you the truth. I like sound doctrine. You know why? That's, you want the simple answer? It's real. Sound doctrine is real. It's real. You can trust it. You can believe it. A church that won't take a stand. I'm talking about us collectively. You know what I mean? We can take a stand in here, but it's taking a stand out there that matters. Take your Bible and go to the book of Amos. Go to the book of Amos. I'm fixing to close this here in a minute. Stay with me now. Go to the book of Amos. Amos Obadiah, ain't it? I believe if you get to Obadiah, flip back one more book. Go to the book of Amos chapter 7. If you get to the book of Joel, go to the right and you'll find Amos. Amos chapter 7. I'll let everybody get there. You're going to be a while. It's hid over. I'm like Brother Ted was. I give up being ashamed a long time ago. I don't care if I'm sitting beside a preacher on the front row anymore in revival. If I can't find it, I'll flip to the front of my Bible and look for the page number. Amen. I'll do it. Look what he said in Amos chapter 7. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Verse 12, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Now, what's he want him to do? He said, look, Amos is, Amos is preaching to the king Jeroboam here of Israel, and said he's going to be led away captive. He's going to die. And he told him, he said, why don't you just go down to the land of Judah and preach down there? Verse 13, prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of this land. What's that got to do with anything? They told him to go, and he wouldn't go. Amos just kept on prophesying. Amos just kept on saying, you know what? The world don't want to hear us today. When we're making our stand, when we're standing against abortion and gambling and drinking and drugs and fornication and half the church probably don't want to hear that sometimes. You do take your stand on that, don't you? When the opportunity's given, we're going to make our stand. You know we're in a battle tonight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. We just can't hide our head in the sand and say, well, it'll get better. God's in charge. No. Somebody's got to make a stand somewhere. But number five, a church that don't care for people is playing. Proverbs chapter 29 said, where there is no vision, the people perish. If we don't care for lost people, we're wasting our time. If we ain't trying to win them, we're wasting our time. I think we ought to be pointing them to Calvary. When's the last time you went and visited somebody? When's the last time that you held out a tract? When's the last time you witnessed? And I'm going to be honest with you, I've got slack on my tract carrying. But you know what bothered me even more as I sat down and studied this thing? This one scripture, 1 Peter 3, said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. I mowed my yard yesterday there, getting my leaves mulched up. And when I mow, I think about a lot of things. I think about the church. I think about what I'm going to preach. I just think. I constantly think. And I was convincing myself and telling myself, for some folk that ought to know better about some things, well, bless God, if that's how they want to be, then that's how it'll be. And I was convincing myself of that yesterday while I was on the lawnmower, and as I come to this scripture where he said, finally be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another. And that really bothered me. Because it's one thing if you've had compassion on somebody and they don't want your help. Then that's one thing. But when you show no compassion at all, that's another. You know what the short version of compassion is? Putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. And how would you want to be treated if you were in their shoes? What would you want to happen? He said, be of all one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be prayerful and be courteous. And I, you know, there's probably some things that I should have done over the years and went and seen folk and talked to folk. But when you go to them, and my wife, to be honest with you, there's been a few folk that we have visited, it's like we were intruding on them, wasn't it? I mean, it's like we were coming into their safe space, I guess you might say. And if you would rather have me call you and do that, that's fine. But I think, well, if that's the way they want to be, then I'll just not go. Is that really having compassion? He said, love his brethren. Love. What's a big word, ain't it? He said, love his brethren. Brethren means we're kin, don't it? Brethren means we're family. He said, love his brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. He said, take care one for another. He said, be courteous to each other. If we don't have care one for another, we're playing church. He said, well, whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul said, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. If we can't love one another and have compassion on one another, now I'm talking about playing church. If we can't be real and loving one another, we're just wasting our time. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we can't learn to forgive one another, we're just wasting our time. I'm not a real big grudge holder. Never have been. I don't know. I guess that's one thing I do get from my mother, I guess. She never was a grudge holder. She'd just forget it and let it go. But if you're holding on to something tonight, and my problem was not holding on to something, my problem was trying to justify what I was thinking and what I wanted to do or didn't want to do. That's my problem. And that might be yours too. But before you start justifying what you're doing or not doing, or before you hold that grudge, put yourself in their place. What would you want somebody from the church to do like that? Say, if you knew what was going on in their life, and they were struggling, and yet they were struggling to come to church, and yet they were struggling. And you know, when people don't come to church, it's a struggle for them to even live right sometimes. Like I say, if for some reason you're held up out of church for a great period of time, you better be spiritual is all I know to tell you. You better have some spirituality about you. But if you were, let me just say this. If you were sick for a long period of time and you couldn't come to church, would you want the church to forget about you, or would you want the church to have compassion on you and visit you and send you cards through the mail and have the preacher come and check on you and folk come by and check on you? Which one would you like? Or would you just like for them to forget you? I think we're just wasting our time tonight in that, calling ourselves church and Christianity when we can't love each other and have care one for another. But see, to do those things, then we're going to have to take time out of our day to see that stuff gets done. Let's bow our heads tonight. Give me just a little music tonight, Jacob, if you would, son. If you need to come and pray, there's already some coming to pray tonight. If you'd like to come, I want you to come. What's God done in your heart tonight? What's He done? Do you need to come tonight? Are we having compassion like we should? Do we love each other like we should? Or are we just playing church? Dealing with sin tonight. Coming in, coming out. Just thinking God don't care. God ain't going to do nothing about that. God does care, friend. You'll have no power, no strength with Him. No prior life. Till you get right with Him. Are you carnal tonight? Most of all, let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been saved? You ever come to a place in your life where you ask Him to save you? To be your Savior, forgive you of your sins. Come into your life. If you've never done that, tonight's your night. If God has spoke to your heart tonight in any situation, I want you to come. The Lord can help.